leading us in those songs. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody said, amen. Exactly. Always a great privilege for us to be together. I wanted to mention to you earlier when we were making the announcements, there were 60 baptisms in the prison. That's where we are right now, 6-0. Now, we're a little behind what we were last year, but that's because we had some really bad weather, and we didn't get to do anything, didn't get to baptize anybody in the month of January. So really, this is just the total coming from this past month. We'll catch up, but everybody here wants to say amen to 60 baptism, right? Okay. I just wanted to point that out. When I was growing up, I know some of my friends, people think I still haven't grown up, but used to be that my mentor used to say to me, Bob, be sure you say today how you feel about somebody, because tomorrow you may not have that opportunity. Well, we all understand that, don't we? It's important, isn't it? So be sure you tell your spouse and the people you love that are next to you, be sure you tell them you love them. And he always liked to tell me or try to emphasize to me it's important to preach out, to point out preachers of the gospel. I'm pointing out Brother Dale Foster out in the audience today. Brother, I've known of you longer than I've known you, because I heard about your story. And God bless you for preaching the word like you still do. And I'm glad you're in my audience today. I feel honored that you're here. God bless you. Dale Foster. Dale just got back from India. That's his main job these days. He preaches at the drop of a hat. I'm glad to see nobody's got one with him. He has a long history. He's a fine, fine, fine man, fine individual. And on top of that, he's got a great sister, doesn't he? And brother-in-law. That's Marty's son, for those of you who don't know. Dale Foster. Well, first things first. Brethren, is there anything too hard for God? Okay, I hope you got that message last week. He says so many great things to us in just maybe little phrases that we need to learn to adapt and to understand. Like I love the book of Ezekiel chapter 22 where he's looking for somebody to stand in the gap. Now it's a disappointing thing that he has because he says he found no one to do it. But the whole idea there was that somebody would get inspired to stand in the gap. That is to reach out where someone needs to be helped. In that particular case, of course, it had some other kind of implications. Brother E.W. McMillan loved this saying. He said this often. He said, if you're headed in the wrong direction, God allows you to turn. Can I get an amen? If you're headed in the wrong direction today, God allows you to turn. You don't have to wait for the look for the sign. Just make a U and go back in the other direction toward Him. The psalmist said, create in me, Psalm 51, create in me a what? A clean heart. Yeah, why don't you let the Father create in you a clean heart? And the Apostle Paul preached in the book of 1 Corinthians, what we received of the Lord, we delivered unto you. Isn't that right, Dale? That's what our job is what has been received by the Lord, the Word of God, the message of God. We want to have the opportunity to deliver that to you. So I want to talk to you today about priorities. Spent last week talking about realizing there's nothing too hard for God, no matter what that situation may be. God can see us through it and can encourage us. The passage that we're going to study from is Matthew chapter 6. I'd love to study from the whole chapter. We don't have the time to do all of that. But the few verses that I want to point out or use as our place of preaching from begins in verse 33. Now, the thought doesn't begin there, but here's what is said there. Do not worry. Did I already get you? Did you hear that? Do I need to say that again? So do not worry. Got any worriers in the crowd? Hope not. The Lord says, do not worry what you shall eat or what you shall drink. So quit thinking about bodacious and quit thinking about the jalapeno tree. You'll get there, okay? Don't worry about those things or what you shall wear, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom or His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be given unto you. All of these things shall be given unto you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Anybody go along with that one? We know that, don't we? There's enough going on in each particular day to give us the things that we are looking for. This morning, I hope we can encourage you by telling you a few things. If you look back in chapter 6, you'll see that I think about verse 19, he encourages people not to lay up for themselves treasures in heaven, on the earth. It might be a bad day. I don't know. I may need orange juice. Who knows? Now, don't lay up for yourselves treasures here on the earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And he spends a great deal of time about giving us some examples about how God will take care of us. At verse 24, he points out that no one can serve two masters, for example. Either he hates the one and loves the other, or else he holds to one and despises the other. And then he says, if you've got a newer version, you cannot serve God and wealth or money or things. That's not what God is about, is it? It's about something else, a priority that's much different. And so he uses the birds of the air. He tells us not to think about our own life, about what we're going to eat. That's part of what we read there. That's repeated down in verse 33, verse 25. But look at the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought? Got a new version that says, which one of you by worrying can add anything to your life by doing that? Don't worry. That's what he's talking about. Now, I don't know about you, but putting first things first is not as easy as it sounds. Especially if you're ADA. Now, I can get started on something and something else pops up over here on the side. Now, if you experience this, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And if you're one of those people that are just able to start a job and get it all done all at once, you can forget what I'm getting ready to say. But I'm not that way. I am not that way. I get started on something, Connor, and Rosemary says, Bob, would you please take out the trash? Yes, ma'am. By the way, that's a good thing for you to learn right now, okay? Yeah. I can be distracted. I wouldn't even think of looking at Rosemary and say, you wait a minute, I'll get to that in a little bit. I got something else to do right now. But what I'm getting at is that it's easy to become distracted in life. It's easy to become distracted in whatever it is that you're doing to take you away from what you're doing. And God knew that. God knew that there were things in this world, in our surroundings, that would take us away from thinking about what ought to be the very first thing we think about, and that's Him. His kingdom. His righteousness. This great passage has within it four things, I think, of great value. For us to understand that we need to follow God, that we have an obligation to follow Him. Now, I want to just say to all of you, so you all know, I believe it's wrong to worry. Anybody else with me? I believe it's wrong to worry. I worry. So I guess I do what I believe is wrong to do. I guess you're in there with me, huh? It's hard sometimes to remove the human side that happens to us, that drags us away. When we say, seek ye first, as God says to us here, seek is a diligent kind of search. It's a discovery kind of search. It's that which sometimes will involve what is an obligation, and in this case, an obligation to look for God in what we do. And the New Testament is full of these kind of passages. If you run a reference or just look up in or even Google sometimes the idea of the Christian life, or in your concordance, which is kind of a thing of the past almost anymore, you will find the frequency of these kind of passages, the emphasis that is given to the activity in each one of them. And I want to share just a few of them with you. The first one is Philippians chapter 2, Bobby, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, Tommy, as we sang in His presence today, but now much more in my absence, listen, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I know that God does everything that we need to secure our salvation, but don't let that fool you into thinking you don't have something to do. Here's a passage that says very plainly that we are in our search to work out our salvation, do so diligently, to do that with fear and trembling in this particular, actually a respectful kind of fear and trembling. When Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians 15 and at verse 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What's not in vain? Labor. You see, it's talking about the connection of work being active in what God has asked from us and for us in our life. Paul in Galatians chapter 5 and at verse 6 says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth nothing nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. It's not the obligation or the duty of the thing that is what's important here. It's the idea of fulfilling what God is looking for from us. Our activities. Jesus even said this. These are His words in John 9 and verse 4. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is today. For the night cometh when no man can work. I must work, said Jesus. Not I ought to work, or I should work, or maybe I'm thinking about working, but I must work. It's the work of God. When is it to be done? It's to be done today. What we can do today. I have an app on my phone, Ray. Well, I have several apps, but it has one of those things that you can make a list. Dorinda, I make one out, and whenever I get it completed, I like to put that little cursor on there and zip, go across there. Sometimes I do that and I erase my list. I held that thing down too long. How many of you have done that? You know what I have to do then? I have to ask Rosemary to remind me what was on my list. Be careful about that. If you're a person like I am that gets easily distracted, make a list. Make a list so you can look at it and get back to it if you need to. Some things ride along on my list for a long time. Anybody with me? Because they're harder to get them completed, aren't they? That's why we need to do what? Prioritize them. That's what God is telling us here, isn't He? Seek ye when? First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what we begin our day with. That's what our priority is. That's what we want on our list so we can be able to do it. I can't think of any particular scripture anywhere that would say, be sure you get this done tomorrow. It says, let's get it done right now. I think that's important for us. There are so many passages that describe us being good soldiers, as Paul writes to his protege Timothy in chapter 2, and those first few verses there, he talks about the battlefield and calling him being a good soldier and doing things and doing them then. Or the writer of Hebrews that describes the Christian life like a race that we are in running in. And he encourages us to run it with endurance. Or as Jesus says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, Luke 13. And again in the book of Matthew, you'll find that in the next chapter, I do believe. But you see, the idea is that we connect the idea of what is to be first, and that is to seek and to serve God. That's the next thing. That's our object, isn't it? We have an obligation to seek this object, which is the kingdom of God. That's what we're looking for. It's too bad that we have to be reminded of what's the most important in life all of the time. It's so easy to be distracted. We need to know about the kingdom and His righteousness. What does that mean to seek it? Obviously, we want to seek its benefits. How many of you want to go to heaven? Come on, let me see it. How many want to go to heaven? How many want to go today? Hey, notice the list is getting smaller. That's something that we're thinking about in the future, huh? That's what we generally think of. Maybe your life gets so filled and so troubled that, you know, if I were to ask you that question on another day, you might not take your hand down. You might say, I'm ready to go today. I just got so many things going. I'm ready to go now. Just remember that if you're still here, God has something in mind for you. If you're still here tomorrow, God has something in mind for you. He wants you to seek His kingdom. He wants you to understand that the kingdom is filled with righteousness. God will help you to understand all of that if you will seek it. That only happens when you become the subject of the kingdom. As Jesus teaches Nicodemus, except you are born again, you cannot see. That means understand, comprehend, if you will, the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. These are important passages for you to understand, to know, especially if you haven't done that as of yet. For you to recognize how important it is for you to do that. So you can continue to seek what is first, really, in this life. Be born again, to be seeking out His righteousness. To know what it is. David says in Psalm 119 and verse 172, all of my commandments are righteousness. Hey, we're back to the idea of doing His will. The best definition that I think I personally like, just using it, in a simple terminology, is just doing the right thing. So you'll hear me say repeatedly from the pulpit, it's always right to do the right thing. That's the concept behind righteousness. We know that real righteousness is seen in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it's about when we recognize the description from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 that tell us the concept that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel story. And we know that the gospel story is about Jesus. That's about the life of the Son of God. That's for us to take upon ourselves. Everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him, 1 John 2 and verse 29 states. Or chapter 3 of 1 John and verse 7, He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as He is righteous. We need to seek the will of God, and when we find that will, we need to do it. Be a participant in it. And of course, that order of things that is to come is the first thing we seek. Our own personal pleasures are to take a back seat to what the Lord's will is. First is exactly what it means. I don't know how it gets any plainer. When we make an excuse about whether we're doing something involved in the Lord, that's all that is an excuse. I know that we have obligations in life. But you see, part of that, God is asking us to think of the kingdom before we obligate ourselves to other things. So when you're thinking about your career, when you're planning your future, when you're thinking about what your job is going to be, remember the kingdom of God. How's that going to affect me in my service to the Lord? Be a part of what He's doing. Be a part of what the church is involved in, helping it to reach its potential. You know, every judgment parable that I read in the New Testament pronounces condemnation for something somebody didn't do, not about what they did do. Think about that. I'm not going to try to preach a long time about all of that. But most of the time, it's because we didn't do something that gets us into trouble. Do something. If it's wrong, somebody will let you know about it. And then you can correct it and go about doing the right thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In the parable of the talents, as you might recall, the Lord of the unprofitable servant who called him the wicked servant and unprofitable, what was it he had done wrong? Well, he hadn't done anything. That's what he did that was wrong. That's the concept behind it. We can present a pretty good case for him if we use the standard of our own age. In fact, he actually took that money, remember, and he put it down in the ground. Nobody stole it. Nobody got it. He brought back what the Lord had given to him. Well, if you ask somebody, would you please hold on to this and keep this for me till I come back? You'd be happy that when you got back that it was in the same kind of shape it was when you gave it to him. Now listen, those of you that have kids, remember when you give them something, that's not coming back the way it, never mind. Okay? But that's why you had kids, was to try to help them out. Okay. Amen. That's right. But remember, God is expecting something from us. The reason he was wicked was because he didn't do anything. He wasn't an embezzler. He wasn't someone who gambled the money away. He just didn't do what he should do. That's what we need to be involved in. And lastly, I just want to say this from this passage. There's so many good things in here. Study this great Sermon on the Mount for good everyday living things. But remember this great promise. There's this wonderful promise here that if I will not worry about what I'm worrying about, God will take care of it. Did you hear that? He didn't say it exactly the way I said it, but that's what he means. He says if you'll just do what I'm asking you to do, all of these other things you're concerned about, I'll take care of them. You go over here and ask these folks that have been married for a double nickel, and I bet you they can tell you story after story after story. They didn't know how they was going to get there, but somehow or another, God worked it out. Here they are. I hope you're going to let her feed them. You're certainly not going to pay for dinner at some place with that group, I hope. Anyway. It offers a great promise. If we'll seek the kingdom first and His righteousness, everything we need, God takes care of. And you know what I found? Even the things that I often want, God takes care and brings those to me as well. Isn't that great? I mean, when we say, isn't it great to be a Christian, we ought to really say, amen! It's great to be a Christian. If you're not a Christian today, if you haven't responded to the gospel message, you haven't confessed Him, if you haven't willingly recognized that you need to change your life, that U-turn needs to be made, and submit to the things that He's asked you to do, that is, that you would be buried with Him in the waters of baptism, raised to walk in a new life, with the Holy Spirit by your side to guide you throughout your life. That's His promise to you. Why don't you come while we stand and sing?
There is a God, He is alive, in Him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man, God the great I am. Oh, there was a long, long time ago, a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is the God that we should know and see His inspired word. There is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God. Secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within His hand. Though men may search, they cannot find. For God alone does understand. There is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God. Our God, whose Son upon a tree a life was willing there to give, that He from sin might set men free and evermore with Him wickedly. There is a God, He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Great having everyone here today, and want to encourage you to stick around and let us have time to visit and come back every chance you get. Want to sing a couple more songs about our awesome God and His awesome power. Then Brother James will lead us in our closing prayer.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Awesome power, boundless grace, fathom all your way. Truth and love are found in your heart alone. Righteousness around your throne. Holy, holy, holy Lord, most high.
Bob asked us if we want to go to heaven. I'm sure we all do, but I don't think any of us is in a hurry to get on a boat. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings you have to give us. Thank you for the time we've had to come here and worship you in truth and in spirit. Thank you for the lesson, Heavenly Father, that Bob has brought us. Help us to use it in our daily lives. We might be.